From KCRW, I'm Evan Kleiman. You're listening to Good Food. Often when we discuss guilt in the kitchen, it's in the guise of eating. I shouldn't have had that extra slice of pie, or why did I just eat a hunk of cheese for dinner? But the guilt that comes from food waste perhaps should produce even greater shame. With nearly 40% of purchased food being thrown out, transforming leftovers just like composting needs to be a collective effort. One of my favorite authors, Tamar Adler, gives us guidance and inspiration to make every meal everlasting. Hi, Tamar.
Hi.
I get a sense that you really enjoy the process of transformation, turning something into something else.
I think that's true. I think I far prefer that to starting from square one. But I think it's actually an impulse that a lot of us share, because I even think about how hard it is when you're looking at a blank sheet of paper, how much harder that is than when you have something to edit. The hardest thing is starting. And once you're going, momentum is so helpful. And also you can see where you want to make changes. And so I know that about myself as a writer, like I just have to get something on screen or on the page. And I feel it as a cook too. It's so much more pleasurable and honestly easier to start with, okay, I have this, you know, I have this batch of leftover rice. I see I have those herbs. I have a few peanuts left in here. You know, it's sort of like constraints breed creativity, I think.
I absolutely agree. So are there some basic staples that it's always good to have on hand if we start to cook in this style of transformation rather than starting from scratch?
Yes, definitely. But, you know, even within what I think is really important to have, there's so much room for variation. I am an olive oil devotee. So I always, if I'm going to have one oil, it's olive oil. And having one good flavored finishing oil is really important, because it literally can transform, you know, yesterday's leftover vegetables or, God, even a piece of, you know, toast, which is just stale bread, into something that really makes you sort of stop and notice. You need acid. So that can be anything. That can be red wine vinegar or a lemon, which in California, it can, you know, definitely be. In New York, I often find myself citrusless. It could also be just plain distilled white vinegar, just anything that lends acidity to food. You know how it wakes you up when you have something acidic? I feel like it does the same to the food. It's like a little clap telling you to wake up. And salt is essential. And then I think texture is really important. But again, there's a really wide range. Herbs are wonderful, really basic herbs like parsley, cilantro, mint, dill. But if you don't have herbs, that could be chopped toasted nuts, or it could just be breadcrumbs, just something to kind of like add a dimension to a food that wasn't there before. And I think spice works similarly to both texture and acid, and like in the kind of wake up capacity. So I really love all of the world's various chili oils and spicy pickles and stuff like that.
Okay, so I feel like we should do a kind of, not necessarily a speed round, but I'm just going to call out some leftover bits for which you have a solution. Often I find that I have a head of cauliflower that's gotten a bit old.
First of all, I just want to say, when something starts to get old, cook it. You know which direction it's headed, right? It's headed south. Pare off anything that's like scary looking, cut it up and roast it. And I say roast instead of boil, not because it's better, but because when you roast something, it gets caramelized and then you won't see any like slightly tannish bits. But take off anything that's liquefying and immediately cook it. And so that's a great sort of step one.
So after we roast it, then what would you do?
Well, after you roast it, you could certainly eat it just like that. Another thing I love to do with anything that's getting old and faded is add a lot of good fat to it, because it kind of needs it. You know, I think brand new, beautiful cauliflower doesn't necessarily need a rich, cheesy sauce, although it could certainly have one.
But, you know, cauliflower that's kind of like in need of assistance is a great place to make a like a combination of cream and cheese. You could add a little flour if you want, and then bake into a gratin. That's one wonderful thing to do. Another would be to make just to toss it in vinaigrette with some parsley or another herb. Essentially, just give it what it's lacking intrinsically. You know, richness and life.
So all of us have the experience of having greens wilt before we get to them. So often that green is arugula. What can we do with wilted arugula?
I really, really like arugula pesto. And once it's pestoified, you don't know that it's been wilted. Which you can use a basil pesto recipe and substitute arugula, or you can do a combination of arugula and basil. Another really great thing to do is just start thinking of it as an herb. Once you cut something across its grain, so like across the, you know, the fibers that go up and down, you know, it stops being quite so wilty. And then immediately use it as an herb. So if you're making a pasta sauce, put it in. If you're making a frittata, put it in. If you're making scrambled eggs, put it in. As soon as you notice that it doesn't look the way you had planned for it to look, use it. Prioritize it. Don't like shove it off to the back, but go, okay, today's your day.
So let's talk about avocado. Sometimes we'll get an avocado where we have great hopes for it, but we open it up and it just is not good or overripe.
Yeah, I was worried about this one because until I was working on this book, I had not found anything that I could make with like those gross brown overripe avocados. And then I remembered that when I was traveling in Vietnam like 20 years ago, there was a breakfast shake that I used to get in Hanoi that was sweetened condensed milk, avocado, and I think just ice. Maybe they also put in milk. I don't recall right now. And I tried making that with overripe avocado, and it totally works. You put it in a blender so that weird fibrousness disappears, and you put the avocado in the bottom, and then it's sweetened condensed milk, which, you know, makes everything delicious, and ice. And it completely makes the most, or the second most delicious breakfast shake. I think the most delicious one is in Hanoi, but I loved that I found this use, and now I get to have this amazing shake whenever I have an overripe avocado.
I love that. So let's talk a bit about takeaway, things that we get and we bring home and maybe we don't finish. French fries, which it seems weird that you wouldn't finish fries, but that does happen. And then maybe they're kind of petrified and incredibly sad.
Oh my God. It really is so sad. Like the difference between a fresh French fry and an overnight refrigerated French fry. It's such a huge distance to fall. And I found two things to do with these. They usually exist in my house because my son doesn't finish his French fries. And I've eaten mine and what I wanted of his, but then I won't let them get thrown out. So I bring them home. And Cal Peternell has a really great French fry frittata in his most recent book, which is called, I think, Burnt Toast and Other Kitchen Disasters. And I had a weirdly amazing, I mean, I guess it wasn't luck because I tried a few different things, but mashing them with a lot of cream and cooked garlic produced a super delicious, creamy mash. And I was able to actually get rid of that weird refrigerator smell, which I think is like, I mean, it's with the smell and the texture that's so awful about leftover French fries. But I was paying very close attention to see if any whiff of that was left, and it completely disappears.
Wow. So when I was traveling in Italy a couple years ago, I had this amazing onion parmigiana. And when I came home, I got takeaway of a hamburger and some onion rings. And there were so many rings that I couldn't finish them. And I ended up using them for a parmigiana. How do you use yours?
Oh, that sounds so good. Was it great?
It was great. It was great.
So they do reheat to crisp and they don't get a weird, they're not like potatoes where they get a weird smell. So you can just reheat them and they'll end up pretty crisp. But I love them in, this is going to sound really weird, but in miso soup.
I'm so glad you said soup because I also have cut them up and put them in soup.
It's so great.
It was really great.
I've also been guilty of crisping them and putting them in a sandwich.
Oh, excellent. Excellent rehabilitation.
Yes.
This has been so much fun, Tamar. Thank you. It's a marvelous book.
Thank you. I love talking to you. So this has been a real treat.
That's Tamar Adler. She's the James Beard and IACP award-winning author. Her latest work, The Everlasting Meal Cookbook, Leftovers A to Z, offers more than 1,500 recipes for cooking using everything from cherry stems and broken candy canes to overcooked beans and bacon fat. This is a compendium to keep at your elbow each time you make a meal. It might make the contents of your fridge more manageable too. Coming up, meet the maker behind Sunset Cultures, a kombucha producer using locally sourced ingredients with flavor combos you've never seen before. Strawberry fennel flour, grapefruit and rice. We take you into the mind of the creator next.